We're here on the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shavari. It's Dan Marver. I'm Mike Mercado. We appreciate you all making us a part of your day. And it must be Easter time. It must be springtime. It must be playoff times. And I know here in Chicago, we're not used to that over the last 5 years. But the NBA playoffs are upon us, which means the NBA season is ending. And the only person I wanted to talk to make sense of any of this is the one and the only. You know him because he has multiple jobs, including the new voice on Heavy on Bulls for Heavy.com. Make sure you're checking out some of his amazing articles, including Soaring Down South. He's the one. He's the only. He's one of our best friends. He's Josh Buchalter. Josh, welcome back to the show, buddy. How you been?
Thanks for having me back. I got to say, dude, you missed your call. You should be bringing in some of the biggest names in show business down the ramp in WWE or something, my man. That was an incredible intro. Thank you. Wow. Wow. How can I not kill this now? I feel great. All right, let's go.
Stop it. Hey, look, how can I ever let down the amazing fans when we bring somebody like you onto the show? Because it's one of the things we keep bringing up on Twitter, on Sports Cubicle TV. When we have somebody like you on, what makes basketball so enjoyable, in all sports, we talk NFL, we talk, but what makes basketball so enjoyable, NBA, is that we're able to have conversations. Like, and today I wanted to do that because you're talking about the Lakers missing the playoffs. You're talking about the Nets and the play-in, a team you cover in the Hawks that were fascinating last year, a juggernaut, killing teams, eliminating teams in Madison Square Garden in the play-in. And the Chicago Bulls are finally back in the playoffs proper. So, I mean, in general, having seen this season, covering so much as you have, what would be your lasting image before we get to the playoffs of what this season was? Because think about how crazy from Brooklyn to LA, all 82 games. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts of the season as we're heading into the playoffs?
In a word, chaos. And I say that in the best way possible, because coming into the year, we had all pre-planned out what was going to happen. It was going to be the Lakers and the Nets in the finals, and we're going to wash our hands of the NBA season and move on to NFL. But we should have learned our lesson, because we did the same thing with the Clippers when they got their group together. We didn't want to acknowledge the Bucks as being a juggernaut on their way to a championship last year. And so this is the season that we deserve and that we really wanted, because it's kept everybody talking, I think, at a higher level than many recent years, just because it's felt so unpredictable at every twist and turn, despite the fact that you've had a few familiar faces at the top of each conference.
How many times did you change your opinion on who was going to win the NBA Finals? For me, you were right. Like, we were talking about the beginning of the season, it's one thing. And then at certain points, you're talking about, like, Golden State. Like, how legit is Golden State? How legit is Philadelphia? At one point, I would sit there saying that the Chicago Bulls have as good a chance as anybody when DeMar was playing like an MVP. So how many times, and is it good for the league that we were speaking on so many different teams having a real bite at the apple and it not just be LeBron's teams? And even the NBA kind of had its dessert too, because he was still one of the main stories. It was still, the Lakers were still headline news. So you still have a lot of parity in the league, and the Lakers were bad and LeBron was main story. But what do you think that's good for the league that we saw something like that?
It's great for the league. I think in sports in general, one of the worst things that you can have is predictability. And so while, you know, for a lot of us, like I said, we went through the exercise of mapping out the season early, for the NBA and for sports in general, it's much better to have what I called it earlier, chaos, because it keeps people in their seats, on the edge of their seats. It keeps them coming back to check for updates well after games have ended. And as far as, you know, having a LeBron, he's still a storyline, right? So you're not going to knock off the biggest faces. That's why I don't think it's ever been the case where they say, you know, you always want to have the stars the entire way. I think that's true to a certain extent, but certain stars transcend things. And I think that's what you have with LeBron. And the NBA is a game of stars. So to have all these other teams in, to have these new faces getting this exposure, right? Ja Morant, first of all, I want to take personal pride in calling the Memphis Grizzlies season breakout well before it happened, because that was my preseason pick as a dark horse to come out of the West. So just that kind of exposure is terrific for those franchises, those cities, and of course, for the league at large.
And we're seeing the new guard kind of take over. Ja Morant, Devin Booker, who did the thing in the NBA Finals. Giannis, who's been an MVP. We're Joker, who's trying to become another MVP, a multiple-time MVP. We've seen what happens with Embiid. And then Durant kind of hanging around, kind of that last old guard of whatever that Steph generation was. But even Steph is hanging around. Do you think in the NBA Finals, what would be better for the league? getting a Brooklyn versus, let's say, a Golden State, so the old heads, the multiple time champions, or is it seeing a team like a Miami, a Philly, a Chicago, a Boston, a Cleveland, a Atlanta, one of these teams that is still looking to prove it against, let's say, a team like Phoenix? Do you want, does the league want young superstars going up against each other, or do you almost need that Goliath of Kevin Durant getting his Brooklyn Nets to the NBA Finals, and now Devin Booker's got to find a way to win an NBA Finals? Which, what do you think the NBA wants more?
Well, because the NBA is in such a good place talent-wise, they want the largest market, because no matter what market you're going to get a superstar, probably talent in that space. But they want to capitalize no matter what. They want to get the most possible dollars. And that's always going to be attached to the larger markets. There's a saying, you know, the Cinderella story, just with this past NCAA tournament, the Cinderella story is great. But when you get to that final two, you want to see the best of the best of the best. And so the league is always, always, always going to default to the larger market. So even in that discussion, the Bostons, the Chicagos, while they're, you know, upstart teams, they're still major markets and they would be really large draws. So I think the NBA just wants the major market. But they know they're in a really good space right now.
Speaking of good space, and we'll be heading to the Chicago Bulls in just a second with one of the best in the business. Make sure you're checking out all his work, Heavy on Bulls for Heavy.com, Soaring Down South, and a bunch of other stuff. You talk about the man is not like Triple H. He doesn't work just on Mondays. He works on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. He's the one and only Josh Buchalter. Shout out Triple H and his retirement and WrestleMania weekend. But, you know, you see how the entire league has kind of played out. The storylines from COVID, from team guys wanting to be traded, the Ben Simmons, James Harden saga, the conferences going up and down in the standings, teams like Boston deciding to go on a tear right before the playoffs. But the conversation has been very consistent on three guys: Joker, Giannis, and Embiid. And John Morant made a conversation every once in a while. Steph Curry was there. DeMar was there. But those are our three MVPs. LeBron, just because the team didn't make the finals and the playoffs and it's LeBron, he's not going to get votes. Those three guys, last weekend of April for the season, heading into the playoffs, who has the inside track of winning the MVP?
So the people in that group, people are going to say Giannis because of what he's doing with that Bucks team. They're on the verge of repeating as champions, in my opinion. Philly, Embiid's case was probably stronger before he started campaigning the way he has, because I think it's put a negative taste in people's mouths. They're just like, all right, dog, like, you were dominating. There's no need for you to go that route. And then you have Joker, and I honestly don't know how you don't give it to the guy who just put up the first 2,000-point, 1,000-rebound, 500-assist season in the NBA history. I just don't understand how you bypass that. And has that team in playoff contention with a blank roster. Like, there's some guys, but that's all they are, is guys. Like, Aaron Gordon was a guy that I like, but he's not that guy, right? He's a really nice piece for a championship team. But on this group, you would say this is a shell of what it should be. And Joker still has them competing hard every night and in contention, like I said. So,
and I think what we're going to see is whoever wins that award, you have three teams that are interesting. And I think what's interesting is some of these playoff matchups. We're going to get to Chicago in just a second. Because right now, that 3-6 matchup between the Celtics and Bulls, that is a nightmare series for Chicago. But to see the 76ers versus the Raptors don't want to go away, and they're going to make it tough for Philadelphia. Whoever the Heat end up with in that series between the Cavaliers and the Nets, who are the 7-8 matchup, and one of the teams you know really well, the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets, two exciting teams. Two teams in that matchup that could provide for a very fun matchup. And the Western Conference is murderer's row. I mean, there's a lot of parity in the West. And, I mean, when we look at the Bulls making the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, since 2017, this is a team that's going into the meat grinder. These NBA playoffs, there is no easy out. Unless you were the one seed, and even then, do you want to have to mess with Trae Young at any given moment, who could decide to go off and score 40 points throughout the entire series? These playoffs, we ball heads, we all, you know, we love hoop heads, we all get excited for the NBA playoff times. But these playoffs feel a little special, right? This feels like the first real ramped up NBA playoffs that we're getting in a little while.
Well, the NBA's play-in tournament is doing its job. Keeping teams fighting deeper into the season. They're making moves, I think, smarter because they want to, again, stay in contention. And then, as you pointed out with these matchups, pick them. You know, pick, like, Miami's going to be in trouble with three out of those four matchups from the play-in. Like, they could probably handle the Cavs, but they're going to have some issues with Charlotte if they get hot. And then we know what the Hawks and Brooklyn can do when they get rolling. And then you look at Philly. Philly definitely doesn't want to have to deal with Toronto for five games. Philly is a team that does not like to be pushed back on. And Toronto, that's all they do. That's what Toronto does, is push back on you. Like, they just whooped them without OG and Van Vliet last night. So, like, they are. This is, it's a real toss-up in most matchups.
And we'll get to the matchup that isn't a real toss-up, and that is here in Chicago. And we want to know your thoughts in the Eastern and Western Conference. Who wins? Let us know on Twitter, Sports Cubicle TV. But, Josh, you watched the Bulls team. You've scouted them. You kept your eye on them as you're covering the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, what's happening in the ATL. You can't help but see what's going on at the United Center. This team, it's run out of steam. It's just the truth. It's injuries have really derailed this team. They haven't had a chance to really put the total roster together. While 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we could have said every team was like that. A lot of teams are getting properly set up for the playoffs. A lot of teams are getting healthy in the right moments. For me, the hard thing to have this conversation this entire time is remembering where we were in October, in November. The fact that the Bulls would have been in this spot, we would have given anything for them to be a fifth seed. At one point, they were a one seed. Now they're a six seed. Like, they're going to play Boston in the playoff series. We would have loved that. But we got into this point. We saw MVP DeMar. If you had to grade the Chicago Bulls' final matchups against Charlotte and Minnesota, how would you think this season has gone? Is it an A? Is it an incomplete? Is it a failure if you don't win a playoff round? After what the crazy emotional roller coaster this season has been, how would you grade the Chicago Bulls?
I think they're firmly in the B, regardless of what happens in the postseason. The quick turnaround that this organization has undergone in just 2 years, Billy Donovan taking a group that was, you know, rudderless and kind of giving them a direction. We can talk about where they go from there, but getting them to this point was a major, major undertaking, and he's taken it and run with it. And so when we look at what's happened, like you just pointed out, you know, we would have killed for them to be here now. And I think that's very important, that perspective, and keeping it in context, because we could have all gotten caught up in that. I tried not to, because, you know, it was, come on now, they were the top seed in the East. Like, there's some talent in the East, right? Like, as much as they were doing it, it always seemed like a little bit of sleight of hand. Mm-hmm. And so I can't see them falling out of B territory regardless, because there's so much that they've shown that they are potential, or they are capable of doing without us seeing it happening. Right. We're never privy to what's the next move. And so you could say that they're kind of locked into this group, and they might be, but that doesn't mean that they won't do something drastic enough to make an impact.
So is that confidence on what this Bulls future is? Is it the fact that this front office has shown that they have the imagination, the creativity to make an aggressive move? That's the one negative I've always had about amongst a few of them, but more specifically John Paxson, and then when Gar Forman came around, it's just not being able to be creative enough to make a move when you can go for it. So do you think that a lot of confidence by seeing what we've seen with Zach LaVine, we're going to see what happens with the Max, Super Max, whatever happens in that situation. DeMar, probably we've seen the peak, so what happens moving forward? It's been an awesome peak. Lonzo has been hurt. I love Lonzo, and I love what Lonzo means to this team. Lonzo's been a dude that's dealt with injuries. And now you got Patrick Williams, who's going to have another season. He's got to figure things out. Vooch is on the other end of this contract. I think there are things we could pick out negatively for the future of the Bulls team, like down the road. But I think even thinking that, it's AK and Mark Eversley. I think that's where the confidence comes in, is they are not blind. They see that. They know that. Have they earned that benefit of the doubt? I believe they have. But somebody who's watched the entire NBA, who's seen a bunch of different executive offices do dumb things and ingenious things, has this front office, for the fan that's a little worried about the next few years, have they earned the benefit of the doubt? Be like, let's see them cook.
Definitely. Again, maybe it is a relative thing, but after seeing so much inactivity from the previous regime, the drastic measures that they've taken, listen, I'm a firm believer in major markets don't have any time for rebuilds, right? You don't have time to go to the slow process. It just doesn't work. And you can talk about it lasting longer. Garbage, because we see teams every year replenish and retool rather than going into a full rebuild. And that a full rebuild means that you didn't do something right the first time. So that's fine. But let's not act like that's always got to be the process, because it's not. And so with this group, they've shown you that, okay, they gave them their evaluation period, and then they acted swiftly and they got rid of guys, right? There's only two guys remaining from the previous regime, right? So I'm not a guy who's quick to make decisions. My entire theme of the podcast is the anti-hot take guy, right? I don't want to jump down, but they've earned it. How have they not? If you were that excited about them as a one seed, then you have to give this front office a chance to make some adjustments, because this was just 1 year, and we know that they had difficulties getting some quality guys in. Let's see what kind of free agents and what kind of depth they can build out for this roster next year. Because I think that's a really big issue that goes unnoticed, is how thin they are. There are guys on this roster that are playing heavy minutes that wouldn't see rotation time on a championship contender. So let's give them some time to work on that.
So, and I want to explore down that road, because we could talk about the court and how exciting it's going to be in a playoffs, because it's the playoffs. And we know that there's always a good chance that a Boston-Chicago matchup can have some magic in it. Shout out Joakim Noah. But I think with the Eastern Conference, right, and the Chicago Bulls, I'm wondering, how close are they for real? I think anything can happen, and when healthy, we've seen them as the one seed. But you look around the NBA, and the one thing this team just does not have is a Giannis, is an Embiid, is a Durant. How do you get to a finals? How do you win? Josh, if I'm putting you on the spot and you're the man, how do you win an NBA championship without having one of those dudes? We've seen it happen. It's rare. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. How does this Bulls team do that?
By doing what AK and Mark Eversley are doing right now, and creating an environment in which one wants to come here. Their goal is to attract one. They know that it takes landing on a superstar in the draft is a one in a million. Yeah. But if you can make yourself an attractive destination for a superstar, well, then that's fair game. And once one wants to come, others want to follow. Just think about how much they promoted DeMar's fondness of the city, and how much he was lured in by how they, you know, how their vision and stuff like that. That was a big part of the promotion. That's the plan. Make one of these disgruntled superstars, because it's going to happen. So once one of those guys gets disgruntled, okay, well, now we'll have access to our picks in future years. They'll have some assets probably to package up, because I'm a firm believer that they're not going to be married to anybody, whether they drafted them or not, and go forward from there.
Are they married to Zach LaVine?
I don't know. I don't know that. I think so, because I think they know what he's meant to their turnaround. But at the same time, I would like to think that they see some of the stuff that we've seen. There are some deficiencies in his game. But at the same time, the market rate is what it is. So I guess that's where it ultimately lies, is what do you think putting him at that dollar amount does to your ultimate goal of landing the guy?
So let's say he is the guy worth that money. He's one of the dudes. You've already paid DeMar, so DeMar has his money. Vooch has his contract. He's probably the big contract that would have to be moved if they make a move. So, who is that piece then? If Zach LaVine's the guy, and DeMar's around for another year or two, and is productive, let's say everybody else that will be on the roster either stays at their point, or the margin is within the medium, okay? So, nothing drastic except that Zach LaVine is the guy. That's what we know. They gave him the max. Do you need somebody like a Mitchell from Utah? Do you need a Joker from Denver? What would be better for Zach to succeed and get far in an NBA playoffs? Because we've seen him with DeMar. We've seen him with Vooch. We've seen him with this team, maybe not as healthy with each other. What do you think would be beneficial to take Zach LaVine specifically in a Chicago Bulls jersey to an NBA Finals? And you know what? Let's take away NBA Finals. To contending for NBA Finals. To being a legit contender.
Rudy Gobert.
Wow.
And I'm not a big Gobert fan, but just thinking about all the things that he does are all the things that this team lacks. And from there, I'm filling out my wings with some more lengthy defenders that can shoot the ball. Like, it's kind of simple. Zach and DeMar are capable of scoring. Like, and even if DeMar takes a step back, which we expect him to next season as he gets older, a healthy Zach should be able to keep going. Healthy Lonzo. Now, obviously, those are two big caveats, but you're already banking on that. Right. That's probably baked in. So going from there, what do you do to build around those guys? I'm going to get a backline rim protector that I know is going to have the paint locked off. You're not doing nothing there. And if you want to, then you're one of the rare ones. But guess what? Like I said, I'm filling in the rest of the spots with some other guys who can back him up as well, because a lot of their issues with Vucevic is dribble penetration, getting beyond the guards, and then he's left out on the island. Now, he doesn't move well and he doesn't respond well to negativity, but that's what I would do. I'm starting in the back line and then I'm going to work my way back from there because they just need somebody to make up for the mistakes that they make. They make too many.
Let's say the Phoenix Suns win the NBA Finals. Do you do a sign and trade and get DeAndre Ayton? Do you do a Vooch, something, Patrick Williams, and say, we'll take him, we'll give him the max?
If they do that, they're not letting DeAndre Ayton go. He's not going anywhere.
It's a tough one. That's the guy. That's the guy. If you're looking up, Rudy Gobert is a great choice. Like that's but that's the guy.
Ayton is like Rudy Gobert 2.0 if he maxes out his potential. Yes. So I agree with you on that. Yes. I'm just reading tea leaves of how it looks like there might be a separation going over there. Utah. But if I can get DeAndre Ayton, that's the first call I'll make. But I just don't see Phoenix being as smart as they've been. I don't see them being that silly with a key piece going forward.
So that's the dream, right? For Bulls fans listening to us here on the Sports Cubicle, when they check out your work that you're doing, you know, you joining the new team over at heavy.com for covering the Chicago Bulls. Obviously, you keep an eye on everything at Soaring Down South and a bunch of the other stuff we'll get to when you before you head out of here to plug. But do you think that's the dream star? And if not that, final question. If not that, what would you like to see? You've mentioned it a few times, but get a bunch of professionals, get a bunch of complimentary players. How much does the impact of this playoffs, so let's say they do get past, let's say they do get to the conference finals. Crazy things happen, right? How much does that impact your aggressiveness, your free agency moves for the following offseason? And who would you want to then see? Because assuming that they make a run to the conference finals, that means Zach and DeMar have balled out. So knowing that, right, assuming that, a fair assumption, but it's still an assumption, what would you do? What would you want them to do? What do you think will actually be the plan going forward for this Bulls team? What do you think they're actually going to do?
Well, because they will be over the cap, they will have to operate that as such, and they'll have to make a trade to make any significant move. A couple of guys that I would keep my eye on, Miles Turner out in Indiana, and then Christian Wood in Houston. Okay. I've been big fans of both of those guys for a while. Wood more lately because the athleticism. I've long wanted them to try to pair a rim running big with Zach to see how that would work, because I think that Zach needs somebody to take some of that attention off of him when he's streaking down the floor. And then as far as wings, again, that's a tricky one because good 3-and-D wings aren't getting let go that easily. So that one might be a little bit more difficult to figure out, because as much as we've seen the game shift back towards big men and point guards, 3-and-D wings are still like supremely coveted, right? They just don't come available that often. So, I would look at Miles Turner and Christian Wood, and then I'm scouring the news wire for anybody that sounds like they want to get out of their situation on the wing.
And that should be itself. Even when just like the NFL, even when the NBA isn't in season, it's always in season. So, I mean, I guess we'll probably have you on as the playoffs go on, maybe as a recap for the Chicago Bulls. But you want to make a quick guess? What do you think the NBA Finals looks like? Right. Yeah, I know. Feats of the Fire. How about this? Give me the conference finals.
Out the East, I'm going to go with Milwaukee. And let me pull up the bracket to make sure I got this right, the matchup. I already said I got Milwaukee winning the championship. So I'm not averse to saying it.
Yeah, so we got back-to-back Giannis.
Yeah, and then I think it's going to be Memphis and Phoenix if they can match up and make sure that that's proper there.
That'd be great.
I'd love to see that. That would be a dream come true for me, because I actually was lobbying for an Atlanta-Phoenix matchup last year on the premise of it's like a rematch. It's like our modern-day version of Kobe versus AI. That's all I wanted to see, and we didn't get it, so maybe this year, maybe I'll get lucky.
Now I want that. Other than the Bulls, I want that now. I mean, I guess the only thing better than that would be like Ja Morant, which is like Derrick Rose as a Ferrari against Devin Booker in a conference finals. That'd be great. I got a matchup for you too. Look out for Minnesota versus Memphis if that ends up breaking out that way after the play-in. That's going to be a heck. Hey, man, Anthony, come on. Come on,
that's a scrappy, fiery matchup. Superstar power all over. I'd like to see that, too. That'd be nice.
Josh, you're the man. Where can everybody find you? Plug everything. Everybody here listening to us on the Sports Cubicle with Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari, Dan Marvin, myself, Mike Mercado. You're part of our Sports Cubicle family. We appreciate all the amazing work you do. You're one of the best, one of the brightest doing the thing. You cover everything like a blanket, and it is amazing to see the grind every time you and I are talking, whether it's on or off the mic. You're always just on it, waiting to bring up the best content. And where can the people find all that amazing content? You're always adding something new, as if you don't have enough jobs and things to take care of.
I'm tired. No. First off, thank you so much for the supremely kind words. You're too kind. But follow me on Twitter at Josh G. Buck, and then follow all the sites, man. The new one, like you just said, heavy.com, heavy on Bulls, Soaring Down South for the Hawks, Last Word on Pro Football for the Chicago Bears. And then ChicagoSports.com is where I aggregate everything. And then it's also where you can find my podcast, Triple Zeros. Recording a new episode either tonight or tomorrow, though. So it's the grind never stops. But like I said at the start,
it never stops. Make sure your son isn't eating all your yogurt. It's the one. It's the only. It's Josh Buckalter. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for having me.